pretty good.
Just when I thought I was out, pull me back in.
It's time for the Mickey Plyler Show here on The Roar.
Tigers head to USC Upstate today in Spartanburg. Dylan Harrison on the mound for Clemson. Ladies golf seventh at the end of the first round. They released the George Strait alcohol concession stales numbers in Death Valley, and the CSC wins an arbitration case. A busy Tuesday show, so let's go. Sports fans, glad to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show. Tuesday, May the 12th, 2026. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. Dr. Milt Lauder, 725, our sports and performance psychologist, joins us. 745, Eric Backage, Clemson baseball coach, joins us. Going to talk a lot about major leagues today, talk about NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, the women's golf regionals, the figures released from the George Strait concert, clubs baseball tonight, Lane Kiffin making news about segregation at Ole Miss and at LSU, and finally, ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. The college football establishment wins a court decision against the degradation of college athletics. Busy show. Looking forward to it. The producer of this Tuesday, as he is every Tuesday, Mr. Will Clanton. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I am doing as I usually do every Tuesday. A little tired, but glad to be here and glad to see your beautiful smiling face.
Oh, you see that smile right there? How was your Monday?
busy, long, productive, decent.
All right.
There's a couple adjectives I can use. How was your Monday?
Busy, long, productive, great.
Okay. All right.
Left here and went home and did four loads of laundry, cleaned up the house, you know, from the weekend. Picked Isla up. Actually, you know, Isla and I were taking a nap. And actually, I looked up after doing all my chores yesterday, and I had about 20 minutes. So I set my alarm for 10 minutes before I had to pick her up. So I took a 10-minute nap in a lazy boy, and I never really fell asleep. But, you know, my wife and I, she laughed at me if I ever asked for a prenup, but I actually had a pre-nap. So, because we came home, I got her, had some lunch, we napped, we got up, went to the dry cleaners, went to the bank, went to the grocery store, came home, cooked a very nice medallions on the big green egg with some asparagus, and then cut the backyard, cut the front yard, threw baseball with the son. Just had an unbelievable day. Unbelievable day. So got it all in, though, man. That's a busy day. There's a lot going on in that day.
Okay. What time were you at the dry cleaners?
At about 3:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. I was going to say we
crossed paths.
Hey. 10:30 for me.
Isla's in the back seat, all right? And so I had a I spilt something on my only suit that I own, right? So I'm dropping it off, and we go through the drive-thru, which I would never go through the drive-thru. I always like walking in. Mm-hmm. First time ever, but she's in the car, you know, you can't take her out just for 15 seconds. Anyway, and Isla's like, Daddy, they came and got your clothes. Oh, yeah, I said, that's a nice lady. Like, she just figured out, like, that's never happened to her before. The guy that fixed my windshield wipers the other day, you know, got new windshield wipers. She's like, he fixed your car. He's a nice man. What's his name? So really cool. Really cool to see her get through all that. What are we going to do in segment two today?
I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's been going on in college football. It was, in my head, nothing going on yesterday in the sporting world outside of, obviously, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. But when I got finished working a long day yesterday around 7:30, I go to ESPN and there's a lot that's relevant to Clemson in the news.
To Clemson?
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait. Let me tell you, and I don't know if this is what you're referring to or not. We'll find out in segment two. But yesterday was a huge legislative judicial day in college athletics. So first and foremost, ding dong, the witch is dead. There's no longer a shutout. The CSC won a major test yesterday.
Now, was that with the Nebraska suit?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes. The College Sports Commission, according to Dan Murphy, ESPN, won the first major test of its authority to enforce salary cap in college sports when an arbitrator upheld the fledgling agency's decision to deny a set of deals involving Nebraska football players. So the case concerned millions of dollars in payments to a group of 18 football players from Playfly Sports, a marketing firm that secures sponsorship opportunities for Nebraska and dozens of high-profile athletes or athletic departments. So the CSC, the College Sports Commission, created last June, has a clearinghouse, and they said these deals weren't legit. This is the first time that we've seen someone actually win on the NCAA/CSC side of things. Had this not been the case, the clearinghouse would be gone. Now, this is the first step because they're going to go to California court next. And that's going to be tough because there's a lawsuit out there. Basically, you've got to defend yourself against lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. But that's not the only thing that happened yesterday. And that was, to me, that was big. That's one that I was told to look, keep an eye out on because that was really big. Well, that's not the only thing that came of all that. Another one came from the White House, because you know the White House is trying to to get involved in this thing, and they released, according to Dan Furman on Twitter, they released their most ambitious federal intervention in the college sports in history: coach salary caps, pooled media rights, a new governing body, a group of six playoff. And so I'm going to go over that today. There's a lot of very interesting intervention plans from the White House now, which, again, I'm all for anything to get some semblance back, some sort of sanity back. But that's not the only thing. There was a great tweet yesterday. I'm going to read you what Clay Travis said about Arkansas and the Arkansas having dropped two tennis programs. Oh, remember, they're making all this money everywhere, but yet we're going to have to drop tennis programs. We can talk about that. And that's not the only thing. Chris Childers on Twitter yesterday had a great thread about why the decline of NASCAR and how that relates to college football. So we had three, like, big picture four big picture items yesterday. And by the way, the ACC meetings are going on down in Amelia Island. But we had like four big picture legislative/judicial/policy type events yesterday. And so I'm going to get into all of them today. So can't wait for all that. On the fields and courts, you got a couple things. Clemson tonight at Fifth Third Park in Spartanburg. Tigers 30-22, USC Upstate 25-27. 5:30 pregame show, 6 o'clock first pitch here. Dylan Harrison going for the Tigers, 2-2, 2.51 ERA. He'll go up against Wyatt Land tonight, 1-1, 3.95 ERA. We'll ask Eric Backage about that. Also, there's a couple thoughts floating around on the websites. about the Tigers resting starters this weekend, because they know it now, or the general consensus now, is that the only way they're going to make it to the World Series or to the college baseball NCAA bids, NCAA tournament, is to win the ACC tournament, so you just rest up this weekend and not throw games, but rest starters. Talk about that a little bit. University releases yesterday, or the athletic department actually releases yesterday, the alcohol sales and concession sales aspect of what they made from the weekend. The athletic department says alcohol sales, 106,226 units of alcohol were sold, generating $1.813 million in gross revenue. Total food and beverage, including alcohol, saw 185,262 units sold, generating $2.8 million. For comparison, home football games, $1.8 million in gross revenue and 173,000 units sold over the seven games for football season. So with that said, the big deal there for sure. And then the stadium rental, that money, and how much percent – they didn't announce their percentage and all that, but we'll see. We'll see. And we'll see how that compares to Morgan Wallen and Brooks and Dunn and Ella Langley and Gavin Adcock and Jason Scott and High Heat for two nights in Death Valley coming up later this summer. So anyway, we'll see what that looks like. Major League Baseball, Braves were off yesterday. They'll face the Cubs. I listened to Buster Olney this morning talk about the Cubs and base running. I'm like, what? Apparently the Cubs are a really great base running team, and that's a big difference. Any way to get an edge, good stuff there. Guardians down the Angels 7-2. Yankees fall the Orioles 3-2. Rays beat the Jays 8-5. D-backs shut out the Rangers 1-0. Mariners over the Astros 3-1. Giants over the Dodgers 9-3. NHL playoffs from last night. Avalanche beat the Wild 5-2 to take a 3-1 lead in that series. Tonight, 7 o'clock, ESPN, Sabres and Canadiens. Montreal trying to take a 3-1 lead in Game 4 there. 9:30 tonight, ESPN, Ducks and Golden Knights. That series, Game 5, knotted at 2. In the NBA last night, Cavs down the Pistons 112-103 to knot the series at 2. And the Thunder sweep the Lakers 115-110. LeBron James is done. Spurs host the T-Wolves tonight. Pivotal game 5 in that Western Conference semifinal. You had the women's golf going on down in Tallahassee, where Florida State, Wake Forest, Eastern Michigan, and Louisiana Monroe are currently the top 5. The Eastern Michigan, Louisiana Monroe are one under par for the last spot. You got to be in the top 5 to get in. UCLA is plus 2. They're in 6th place. Kentucky and Clemson are tied at plus 3. For that good news, my niece shot 69 yesterday. She's second down there at the regional. So hopefully we'll get another good round and can move up a spot or move up a couple of spots, because we got two more rounds to do it, and they're trying to get in the top 5 to advance the NCAA tournament out in California. You saw where Lane Kiffin took a shot at Ole Miss in a Vanity Fair article, in which he says, according to Kiffin, conversations were different in Oxford. He said they'd be like, hey, coach, we really like you, but my grandparents aren't letting me come to Oxford, Mississippi. That doesn't come up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Parents are sitting here this weekend saying the campus's diversity feels so great. It feels like there's no segregation, and we want our kid to come here because that's the real world.
Yeah, okay. Vanity, that describes Lane Kiffin 100%.
He's talking about your Ole Miss Rebels.
Fair does not describe Lane Kiffin. Yeah, but Vanity Fair, of course he's going to be doing an interview, a sit-down with Vanity Fair. What an idiot.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that today. It's going to be fun. And segment two, we're talking Clemson and the – how'd you describe that?
Relevant okay, news.
Let's do it. Can't wait. Before we do take our first break, I do want to tell you about my great friends at Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158. Your garage floor can look amazing like mine. We were yesterday with cutting the grass and blowing the clippings and all that. I'm in the garage and moving stuff around, and we got some stuff that got to go from the garage, man. I got a couple of big, huge motorized vehicles that just need to go for my kids, you know, riding around that Drake won't ride anymore and all that. Too big for them anyway, so I gotta do even more cleanup. But when I do, I look below all that stuff, and there's a great garage floor. Yours can look great as well. It's no obligation phone call. The company's been doing this the longest, and the company's been doing this the best. It's Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158. Call them today, 404-8158. It's CarolinaFlooringSpecialist.com. No obligation phone call. Take 5 minutes of your day, give you an estimate, show you what they do. You'll sign up for it because it's so affordable. You'll be shocked by that. It's Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158, 404-8158. Short break. We'll come back. Segment two with Will Clanton right after this.
You know, warm and comfortable weather reminds me how we can get creative in and out of the kitchen when thinking of and preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And that creativity is enhanced by a trip to my local Ingles Market, where my wife and I can find all the ingredients we need to prepare great meals for
85% of the repeat business, or business comes from repeat business. That's an amazing number. And $2 billion contribute to the economic growth in the upstate of South Carolina. What a company. What a story. TREHEL.com, 800-319-7006. When you think about building, call Trail, the very first phone call. Segment two with Mr. Will Clanton.
Before I get to two items from the ACC spring meetings, which is what I'm referring to, Lane Kiffin, you know how I know that Lane Kiffin didn't actually have an issue with quote unquote segregation or any sort of racial injustice when he was at Ole Miss? It's because when he left, he didn't say anything about it. He never cited it as an issue until
now. Let me say this, to be fair, maybe that conversation happened this weekend, and maybe it reminded him, or it showed up now, or it didn't show up before. There are some times where, you know, we get our eyes opened by a comment, and you go, oh, looking back on it, yeah, I kind of see it. Now, to me, just because I just doubt Lane Kiffin, he quoted someone's past weekend and said, it feels like there's no segregation here. We want our kids to come here because it's the real world. I mean, is that what the quote was to him? And did it really happen to quote that people come and says, quote, we don't want my grandparents to let me go to Oxford, Mississippi? Like, I mean, maybe. It might have happened. I'm sure somebody might have felt that way. And I'm sure Ole Miss fans are offended by that, because I'm sure Ole Miss fans are thinking they don't see that. But sometimes you see things that other people don't see and hear things other people don't hear. I'm willing to give him the benefit of that, but it is Lane Kiffin, and it does feel like this is a self-serving thing. And if anything, now here's the real part of it. If he uses that as a self-serving aspect to make himself look better or LSU look better, then shame on you. Because if anybody uses racism for their own benefit rather than for the constructive, you know, advancing of society, then shame on you. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunist. And if he exaggerated any of those or made those up in any way, shape, or form for that being the purpose, and not advancing causes, and it's being about Lane Kiffin, about LSU, then shame on him. But you know what? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'll give him more benefit of the doubt if it wasn't Lane Kiffin. You know? Like, I just have a hard time saying, oh, well, now here's the bastion of civil rights, you know?
From my experience, there's no escaping the heritage of racism in Ole Miss. I mean, think about it. What's... you can change your mascot as many times as you want, but what do we call the Ole Miss mascot? The Rebels.
Right.
It is literally an old white Confederate soldier-looking guy with a rebel flag. That is Ole Miss. If it takes you... Okay, maybe Lane Kiffin is not as smart as we take him to be. Maybe he just doesn't pay attention to a lot of things, but... No, that's not the case.
I've not been to a football game, and I don't remember the only time I was in Oxford, Mississippi. Are there flags there, Confederate flags there everywhere? Or can you find one?
You can, yes.
You can find one.
You can. To my knowledge, I've never seen it, but there is similar to the controversy with the South Carolina State Capitol, where there was the Confederate flag. I'm pretty sure that for a long time there was a Confederate flag flying somewhere on Old Miss's campus. I think it has been taken down. I'm not sure of that. I'm not up to date on the ins and outs of Old Miss on campus culture and history, but it's like 90% white.
Is Colonel Reb, is he still around? Like, do you see Colonel Rebs?
I mean, you're not going to see someone dressed as him. You're going to see some people that look like him, but not intentionally dressed as him.
But you'll see stickers or flags of Colonel Reb or
yeah, he's okay. on T-shirts. Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. And then the final part of it is the word Ole Miss. Like, should they go back to saying Mississippi rather than Ole Miss? Because Kiffin's claiming that that's part of the issue is the everybody refers to as Ole Miss rather than the University of Mississippi.
Like the old ways.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm not there. I haven't been there. I don't know.
I don't have that close a ties to it. I don't think there's a correlation between O-L-E, which I call Ole. I call him Ole Miss a lot.
Ole Miss.
Ole. I'm just getting so sick and tired. I feel so bad for sticking up for this guy for so long.
For Lane Kiffin?
Yeah. Hey, we all make mistakes.
You know,
it's how we recognize our mistakes.
Here's what we don't know. All right. If it was a major concern why he was there, then what did he do while he was there to help bring about change?
Nothing.
I mean, maybe behind the scenes he was fighting and doing stuff. Maybe. Okay. It just seems convenient to me that now that he's gone, now he can use that against them because they're going to recruit the same players.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe I'm 100%. Maybe he truly, really does care about civil rights. Maybe he is. That's his focus. But I don't know, man. It's Lane Kiffin. Like, you know what I'm saying? If it came from anybody else, I'd go, oh, huh. But not this guy.
I've got a case for the opposite, but I can't say it on air.
Okay.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it in the, the very, very invaluable off-air conversation. So I'll convince you of it pretty quickly. But moving past Lane Kiffin, there's two things that were on ESPN's homepage.
Right.
Right when I went to when I was going to bed last night, apparently, according to the Four Letter Network, they had on their front page. They had an article that said, Dabo Swinney says Clemson, quote, grossly underachieved in 2025.
Yep.
I'm not going to get into this article too much. It's a very short article. It's got some good quotes. I'll have it on hand so we can play it later if you want to. But the second sentence in this article by Andrea Adelson, who's a great reporter. I like her a lot more than the alternatives. She says, in his first comments since the NFL draft, Coach Dabo Swinney said Monday, ... These are not his first comments since the draft. These are his first comments directly to an ESPN reporter.
Right.
If you,
but in their mind, if it's not on ESPN, it didn't happen.
Yes, exactly. If you haven't seen it, and it does even references later in the article, in the last week, Dabo hosted Josh Pate here at Clemson for a fantastic interview. I was shocked, honestly. I was surprised. I'm not the Josh Pate. I don't dislike him. I don't like him too much. I take him with a grain of salt. Just kind of because of how he panders, especially recently. It seems like he panders to a lot of people, but the conversation they had was great. And I recommend watching it. You can find it on Twitter. You can find it on YouTube. Josh Pate, Dabo Sweeney. But also, he did sit down with Greg McElroy.
Yeah.
And the always.
I feel bad for them because these were his first comments. He didn't even say anything in those two interviews.
He just sat there the whole time. Yeah. He just nodded his head. Yeah. What I really wanted to get to, and we may have time to get to this later. It's not going to hurt my feelings, but ESPN had another article from the ACC spring meetings. Title of the article, and I quote, "Despite snub, Notre Dame on good terms with ACC," AD says. Now, this is mainly an article about Pete Bavakwa, Notre Dame's athletic director, addressing, you know, bowing out of bowl season. That's a jumble right there.
Right.
Bowing out of bowl season after they were not selected for the college football playoff, and instead they selected ACC team Miami. And if I remember correctly, Pete Bavakwa kind of framed it as if the ACC needed to stand up for Notre Dame, and they needed to admit that Miami did not deserve to be there, and Notre Dame did deserve to be there. Fast forward to national championship week. Miami's in the national championship. Just kidding. They were there in spirit.
Well, here's the thing about all that.
Notre Dame should have been there.
Yeah, here's the thing about all that. Number one, Miami and Notre Dame played head-to-head.
Correct.
And Miami won that one.
Correct.
And then number two, Miami's a full-time member of the ACC and Notre Dame is not.
Correct.
Are you going to take up for yours or partly yours? If given a choice between defending your brother or defending your cousin, you can defend your brother. Your brother's in the house with you. Y'all might have shared a bedroom. He's closer blood to you. Your cousin, they're part of the family, but they're your second cousin. They're down the road. They're down the line. You're not going to defend him as much. If you're drawing your battle lines at the family reunion, you're sticking with your brother. Miami's a brother. Notre Dame's a second cousin.
Especially a second cousin that doesn't want to sit with you at church.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but in mass. But here's the thing.
Sorry, yes.
If this was an NCAA basketball, then they got an argument because they are a member of the ACC in basketball.
Correct. In youth group, they sit together.
Right, right. Small group, they're in the same small group.
There you go.
But no, they're not. They're. It's not even a factor. You're going to go with what you're – put it this way, the bigger story would have been if they didn't take up for Miami. And in the end, who cares if you took up for Miami or not? The committee's the committee. Who cares what you say? You don't have an influence on it anyway. And shame on you for thinking that you have influence. But have some self-awareness out here, thinking that anybody's words are going to influence the committee. Like committee's going, well, we were going to take Notre Dame, but the ACC commissioner said we needed to take Miami, so let's take Miami.
Okay.
Let's throw out all the other data, including head-to-head, and let's go – I mean, Jim Phillips said this, so we got to do it. No, that's not how it is. We waste our time spinning our wheels so much on stuff we think that we can do that nobody's paying attention to. Like, oh, I'll give you examples of it later, but I'm going on a hunger strike to fight against what's going on in Norway right now. People go, okay, knock yourself out, pal. I'm going to McDonald's. You know, like, what? Okay. Who cares what you're saying? You know what I'm saying? Who cares? Who cares what the commissioner said?
And also, the commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips, when has he ever gone out and stuck up for anything in public while it was happening?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about after the fact. When has Jim Phillips ever gone and said, man, you know, we're being disrespected by the committee. He's never stuck up for any ACC program moment.
Here's where Notre Dame would have an argument. If Jim Phillips was the committee.
Sure,
but not only is he not the committee, he's not on the committee. So what does it matter what he says? Is Notre Dame also mad at me?
Probably.
Because I said Miami needed to get in. Well, I have just as much say. They're not listening to me. They're not listening to Jim Phillips.
They're probably mad at me for saying church and not mass.
How dare you? Short break. We'll come back. I've got the three or four judicial slash legislative aspects of college athletics that came out yesterday. Let's get into all that and more. Much more when you come back into this.
I think many of us have been at this exact point where...
Kind of set things off. Besides our two interviews with Milt Lauder and Eric Backich, I want to get into the four things that happened yesterday in our four remaining open segments. In this one, I want to go back to a tweet yesterday about, or 2 days ago, about what's happening in Arkansas. And so on OutKick on Twitter, Clay Travis was talking about what's going on with Arkansas, and he says that Arkansas is the canary in the college sports coal mine, and that more schools will begin following the model of cutting non-revenue producing sports until we have an antitrust exemption. You know, one of the things people don't understand is that the antitrust exemption or the collective bargaining that needs to happen here, the collective bargaining would end all this, all these court cases, because you would agree to these rules. By the way, it wasn't collectively bargained, but you already agreed to the rules when you signed a scholarship to play sports. But now you're just going outside of that, and you're suing for more money or more years or more rights, whatever. So that's what's happening on these courts, and the courts are upholding their end until yesterday with the arbitration case against Nebraska. But that said, it is a big deal that Arkansas is discontinuing its men's and women's tennis programs at the end of this school year. Now, let me remind you that Arkansas is in the Southeastern Conference. Let me remind you that Arkansas produces about $200 million in revenue. Let me remind you that they'll be getting $75-80 million from TV. And so I think it is a very fair question to go, wait a minute, man, you guys are making over $200 million a year. Why are you dropping tennis? And maybe I'm not trying to say Arkansas tennis is all that important, but it is important to some Arkansas fans, and it's very important to all the Arkansas tennis players and tennis coaches, tennis administrators. And I think tennis is a really good sport. And I think it's, you know, the fact that all the former Arkansas tennis players there now don't have a program they can go back home and take pride in. I think it's a pretty big deal. I like Clemson tennis. I like Clemson men's and women's tennis, and I think they're on the right page there. But as Clay Travis talks about in this case, the canary in the college sports in around what's happening in college sports right now, in the college sports coal mine, I should say. This is going to happen. And so I just think that from a big picture standpoint, the fact that you've got to pay your starting offensive guard $800,000, but yet you can't have a tennis program or a men's tennis program? Now, does anybody think that's right besides the starting offensive guard? And it's not going to stop there. It's going to golf. It's going to softball. It's going to, I mean, at Furman, it cost a baseball. No, that didn't cost a baseball. But, you know, there's this misconception. All these programs have all this money. It's just sitting around, and everybody's getting fat and rich and happy. And yet, Arkansas, yeah, they're making $200 million, but they're spending $200 million. This ain't no cheap endeavor. All of the medical doctors, all of the eye doctors, all of the food, all the travel, all the security, all the facilities, all the equipment, all the coaching salary. Like, this ain't free. And yet the athletic department's gotta, I guarantee you, if it wasn't for the NIL and the house settlement, we'd have men's and women's tennis in Arkansas. I don't care anything about men's and women's tennis in Arkansas on the micro. I don't know anybody who's ever played tennis in Arkansas. But I can tell you this, on the macro, I do care about it. The idea that a basketball player is gonna that might average 4 points a game is gonna make enough money to support your tennis programs, and yet You're going to miss his 4 points a game? That some your fourth wide receiver is going to make enough money to support your tennis programs, but you got to have him instead?
And it's interesting because I'm looking at the 2025 financial reports for Arkansas.
Yeah.
Not only did they have a nearly $7 million surplus throughout the athletic department. Let me find
what
tennis.
Was their total revenue?
Their total operating revenue, $195 million.
Right. What were the total expenditures? You said it's so that was 188 then.
Well, now I'm questioning the article because the total operating expenses is $184 million, which gives you a nearly $12 million surplus.
Yeah.
But men's tennis, $1.2 million in the hole. This is 2025.
Okay.
And women's tennis, $1 million in the hole. So $2.2 million is what it costs you to run those programs year in, year out, both programs. $1.2 million. Total revenues from those combined is $3,300.
Yeah.
So I can understand when you're looking at it, especially in the capitalist society in which we live.
Yeah, we're just for profit? Is that what we're doing?
I mean, when it comes to competition, when you're competing with other schools for individual players, every single dollar is going to count.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather Clemson have a tennis program or to be able to go get a sixth wide receiver?
A tennis program.
I mean, me too. Like, I and that's a big picture issue.
But and that's how a lot of these Power Four programs, how their athletic departments are being run as businesses.
So let me add the second tier to this. The White House yesterday came out with their guidelines for college sports reform. Remember, they had the committee that Nick Saban and Condi Rice and Jim Clements and all these people were on. Well, that committee was tasked with reforming college athletics, and the White House released yesterday their plan after meeting with the committee. Now, again, this will get shot down. And, quote, this is for the draft was for discussion purposes only right now. This is not what they're doing. This is what they want to talk about. But the College Sports Reform Task Force came up with several ideas. And we'll go line item through some of this. Some of the ideas are, well, there's three phases of it. One is stabilization. That's where we are now, man. Like, we've got to find a way to stabilize this thing and stop the hemorrhaging. Number two is media rights reform. And number three is permanent governance. So in phase one, what they're saying is that, and this is the most direct level here, is they want to stop the idea of cutting non-revenue sports. They want to shrink and stop shrinking the athletic departments. They want to address the coaches' salaries, how high they are, and the fact that 13 major college football coaches are paid at least $10 million. They want to, the document also outlined the multimedia rights. Let me get down to specific here. So they want to have coaches' salary caps. All right. They want to have in phase two of it, this is the pooling your media rights, like the NFL. So this is where you take all of the conferences and you pool them together and you dole them out the way NBC, CBS, so it's exactly the NFL model.
So you're saying that the ACC and the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC would pool everything, all of their revenues.
No, all of their pull all their product and then get the bidding on from all of the networks. It's the NFL. You know, if you notice, the NFL is on NBC, the NFL is on CBS, the NFL is on ABC, ESPN, and the NFL is on Fox.
Would the distribution of those contracts, the revenue from those contracts,
be distributed among all members?
Evenly.
Not evenly.
Okay.
But among the Power Five, at least, evenly. Now, again, this is just discussion.
Okay.
And okay. It's not really a specific, you know, it hadn't gotten that great detail yet. And then they talked about setting up the permanent governance. So the who's in control and how, what rules are we going to play by, and then how are we going to enforce those rules. To talk about the ecosystem for long-term legal and financial stress or distress. So the fact is, like, they're looking at going and making sure that we stop what's going on now, we pull these media rights, and we put together a long-lasting plan. It makes sense. And again, they're just discussing this. But here's my point. Even through all this, without the collective bargaining aspect where the players agree to everything and the owners, I mean, the colleges agree to everything, then all these are great, but they're just going to get sued. So you got to agree not to sue each other. Let's agree on rules and then agree not to sue each other. Much more on this and the NASCAR example when you come back. Hour number two, right after a very short top of the hour break.